Good morning, everybody. I trust that you've had a good beginning to the day. I'd like to read to you this morning a portion of a letter written by John Newton. Most people are not aware of the fact that Newton's primary contribution to the evangelical movement of his day was not through his preaching or even through his hymn writing. It was through his letter writing. One of his recent biographers, in a work entitled John Newton in the English Evangelical Tradition, D. Bruce Hindmarsh, says that it was chiefly through his correspondence within the evangelical network that he was recognized as possessing a particular genius for spiritual letter writing. He says that one of Newton's own correspondents in Scotland wrote in 1774, "It's a pity that Mr. Newton should do anything except write letters." It's also interesting that Newton came to a point in his own life when he really felt as if the best way for him to start speaking to the Lord was through the letter form. He says, "The Lord gave me many friends with whom I correspond, and the Lord's my best friend. He knows my all. A thought came into my mind yesterday that it might be to his blessing and affecting of my own heart and lead me to a more exact notice of what passes if I address myself to him something in the letter form, laying my cares and desires and wants and connections before him as they arise." So he started to do that in his own journal. The portion of the letter that I'd like to read to you today was written in September of 1774 to an unnamed man, but this brother evidently had been diagnosed as having an inoperable tumor. Newton writes, "Certainly, if my ability was equal to my inclination, I would remove your tumor with a word or a touch. I would exempt you instantly and constantly from every inconvenience and pain. But you're in the hands of one who could do all this and more, and who loves you infinitely better than I can do, and yet he's pleased to permit you to suffer. What is the plain inference of that? Certainly that at the present juncture, he to whom all the consequences of events are present in one view sees that it's better for you to have this tumor than to be without it. Because I have no more idea of a tumor rising without a cause and without a need be and without a designed advantage to result from it than I have of a mountain or a pyramid rising up of its own accord in the middle of a plain. The promise is express and literally true that all things, universally and without exception, shall work together for good to them that love God. But they do work together. The smallest as well as the greatest events have their place and use, like several stones in the arch of a bridge, where no one would be useful by itself, but everyone in its place is necessary to the structure and support of the arch. Or it's like the movement of a watch, where though there's an evident subordination of parts, and some pieces have a greater comparative importance than others, yet the smallest pieces have their place and use. And there are so far equally important that the whole design of the machine would be obstructed for the lack of them. Some dispensations and turns of divine providence may be compared to the mainspring or the capital wheels, which have a more visible and determining influence upon the whole tenor of our lives. But the more ordinary occurrences of every day are like the least pins and pivots, adjusted and timed and suited with equal accuracy by the hand of the same great artist who planned and executes the whole. And we're sometimes surprised to see how much more depends and turns upon them than we were aware of. And it's then that we admire his skill and we say, he has done all things well." Such thoughts as these, when I'm enabled to realize them, in some measure reconcile me to what he allots for me or my friends, and convinces me of the propriety of the scripture which says, "Be still and know that I am God." That's the language of love as well as authority. I sympathize with you in your trial, and I pray and trust that your shepherd will be your physician and will superintend and bless the use of means and will give you in his good time health and cure, and at all times reveal unto you abundance of peace. His promises and power are necessary for our preservation in the smoother scenes he's allotted for us, and they're likewise sufficient for the roughest. We're always equally in danger in ourselves, and we're always equally safe under the shadow of his wings. No storms or assaults or pestilences can hurt us until we have filled up his appointed measure of service. And when our work is done, and he has ripened us sufficiently for glory, then it's really no great matter by what means he's pleased to call us home to himself. I have only room to present my sincerest respects. The Lord bless you all. And that was the end of that really dear letter by Newton. You grasped, I know, the intent of that. It was not just to comfort this man and say kind things that expressed Newton's concern for him, but it really was to do him spiritually good without preaching to him, but with the greatest sympathy to call his attention to the greatness of God, who orders even the smallest things for the very best of all purposes in the end. And I know you believe that about your life. Sometimes hard to remember it when we're in pain or long sleepless night, when we're out of work, when we're sustained some great loss that leaves us anxious about the future. But the question always is, do I know God and does he know me? Am I his child? Well, if I am, then everything is secure, though it doesn't feel secure. But I'm safe in his hand. And may the Lord help us today to really honor the Lord and show that we really love him by trusting him just the way a small child does a father, that he really believes, my father, my dad is the strongest dad in the world. My dad is the smartest dad in the world. My dad can do anything. Well, in this case, those are not childish thoughts. Our Heavenly Father is the strongest and the greatest and the wisest and the most loving and most purposeful. And he not only can do everything, he does do everything. He does do everything. All the smallest things are superintended by him. And there's nothing at all that will touch your life but what it'll be truly not out of his severity, but out of his tender compassions for you. May the Lord give us that confidence in him. It honors him.